I am keeping the faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. I like that. In keeping the faith, everything will be ours. If we are keeping the faith, then we do what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by sight. For we live by faith and not by sight. Sight means appearance. Jesus is not physically present, so we must live by faith. Faith sees Jesus. When I look, I can actually see Jesus. And you might look up and see Jesus differently than I do. But that's what I do. I focus in on him. Now, John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Yeah, Thomas saw him and he believed. We haven't seen him, but we do believe. We believe in him. We believe Jesus exists. He's up in heaven, interceding for you and me. But it goes on to say, this is what Jesus said. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus calls us blessed. The Greek definition of the word blessed comes from makaros. This describes a believer as being in an inevitable position for receiving God's provisions, or as we know it, favor, as being an extension of his grace. This happens with receiving the Lord's inbirthing of faith. You got your measure? Amen, you do. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look to verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, Peter says, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter says we are receiving the end result of our faith. That is the salvation for us. A guarantee to live forever in eternity with him and with all those who went on before you. Because they're up there, they're waiting for you. Ephesians chapter 2, though, it says this for us in verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. There it is again, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, up there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he says, we love him even though we haven't seen him. We love him because he's the one who first loved us. And he loved us so much that he died for us. To set us free from the law of sin and death. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. How's your love walk doing? Because faith expresses itself through love, you can check your love for others as a way to monitor your faith. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Galatians 5 there. Look to verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. New Living Translation. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbors as yourself. True freedom is the freedom to serve one another in love. Now, where did Paul come up with that? Well, he got it from God. In Leviticus 19, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or revenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. Our brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Vengeance, as we all know, belongs to the Lord. Amen? Because if it is left up to us, it would be carried out to a high level of jealousy, right? We'd be so zealous to take revenge on someone. But see, we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. God's vengeance is entirely just. Now, where it says, and bear any grudge, means to actively keep it alive with an eye for revenge. Drop it and let it go. That's what I'm telling you. Drop it and let it go. Because it's, you know who it's going to affect if you don't drop it? You. And you. You'll look for years to get revenge on them. That's not going to come. Let God handle it.
Amen.
You let it go. Now, Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. I like this account with Jesus. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. They were trying to catch him. They were setting him up. saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Can you imagine the altar moment? Yeah, we got him. We got him. We'll see how he answers this one. And Jesus calmly said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Father like son. He quoted Daddy pretty good. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This command is not an imperative to love oneself, though. We naturally love ourselves, and so we are somewhat self-centered. Now, because we love ourselves, we want the best for ourselves. And likewise, we should be concerned for the welfare of others. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two categories. Those dealing with love for God, and that is the first four commandments. Those dealing with responsibility towards other people are the last six commandments. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What does love have to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. And faith works through love. That's it. You can say it real loud. Faith works through
love.
That's it. You almost you thought I was going to trick you up. No, that's what the word says. Faith works through love. You know, even if you're wrong, shout it out, because you can't be wrong when Jesus is in the house. And Jesus is in the house. In keeping the faith through through love, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. It takes love. Now, we were last week in Ephesians, so go to Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4. These are verses, we're going to start with verses 1 through 3 here. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our endeavoring will be accomplished by humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because it's all about love.
Yeah.
This book is all about love.
Yes,
I know there's a lot in there, but it's about love.
Yeah.
God so loved the world.
He
created it. It was His creation.
Yeah.
He wanted a family. And Adam and Eve screwed it up. And it took Jesus to get it back.
Yeah, it
but He was with His kids all through the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
And He was acting in love for them. And you think they would listen to Daddy? Whew, no. Why did they end up in so many problems? Because they didn't listen. And that's why we have the Bible to teach us and to show us God's love. We have a love inside us to do just that. Because in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, tells us that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You notice it says it was poured out. He didn't get a little trinket. Man, he poured it out on you and me. I'm taking some of that. I want as much of that, the love of God in me. I want it more and more to come out. Because when you get all the love going, all the other problems are going to go away. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One body, one Spirit, one hope. Get a hold of that this morning. One body, one Spirit, one hope. Now we are all different, but we must work together. See, that's how our bodies work. They work together. The foot, the arm, the legs, the ears, the eyes, and our heads are designed to work together. Simply this. Each of us has a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. We can't function at our best without each other. We were created and given destinies that are designed to work together. Every one of us is meant to serve the purposes of the whole. If we keep the faith, everything is ours, because in keeping the faith, we are staying in unity with God. See, we can't go against His will and expect to receive from Him. He's the one who made all the members of the body of Christ. Endeavoring to remain united with His people keeps us going on the right path for success. Amen. That is spiritually, physically, and financially. Our success as believers depends on keeping the faith. See, we streamline our faith when we choose to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, because faith works by love. Faith does not work by strife. Oh, wow. Faith does not work by strife. Strife will kill the faith. See, we all rise when we work with God instead of against Him. When we fight within the body, we will fall into the world's way of backbiting, comparing, and jostling for rank. We are literally working against God and ourselves. There is no rank in the body. We are one and equal under God. First Corinthians, chapter 12. And we're going to be here for a while. First Corinthians, chapter 12. Verses 12 we're going to start with, through 31. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes. The body has many different parts, not just one part. Jump down to verse 18. But as our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Yeah. I think I need to say it. See, but as our bodies have many parts, God has put each part just where He wants it. Yeah. God created the human body, and God created the body of Christ. Every part that is in you. See, you're thinking of just the extremities. You have organs within your body. You have cells within your body. You have blood that's flowing through your body. And there's so many things in that blood that He specifically put in there for. So God knows what He's doing. Amen. And that's why He put together the body of Christ. Right. Verse 19. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. That showed so well, and it's right here in the sanctuary. Okay? Everybody thinks that there's an insignificant part there of being the person who puts up the words and the announcements. But see, that's not an that is a very important part. Because without Ashley doing her part, Teddy has a hard time doing his part because he tries to do both. Which, I've been there, and that's not easy. So she's needed. Amen. Then Teddy's needed by the group. Because if he can't find the music, they got to go a cappella. And as you can see, Timmy forgot where he was at. He forgot he was upstage here. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost left him. Amber prayed for the Holy Ghost to fall. It fell on him, and then it left him. I wonder what he was thinking. You know, I'm just doing it as an example. See, they needed. When that happened, you saw what happened. It stopped. Everything stopped. You guys were like, Teddy's having trouble. Don't breathe. I've been there. Ted, just put a couple Kleenexes up in there when it's running down. No, don't worry about it. No, I've been there. And the singers, because if he's not mixing the sound right, if those monitors aren't properly, then you see Timmy going, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. Then Ted looks up and says, what he wants? You know, it's real simple, brother. Okay? That's it. Give me more backups. And he means, did you guys forget all the sickness we had? Ted, I just think they're just trying to make it rough on you. But the idea of it is, everyone has a key part. Okay? And even the singers, they support one another. And when that, because when it happens, you're all of a sudden, it's my turn to sing, and you forget, all of a sudden, this one starts singing, and then you go, okay? And so it happens. I just want you to, this is what's important, the body. Okay? I hope that made some sense to you. Okay, verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that are less dignity. Those that have less dignity. Now, it says a lot, but you got to put it all together because I just gave you an example of how it works. See, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. That means there should be no fighting, no Amen. Schisms Amen. Within the body, within the believers. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Hallelujah. So what is your response when a fellow believer is honored? How do you respond when someone is suffering? We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Too often, unfortunately, we are jealous of those who rejoice and apathetic towards those who weep. This should not be. Verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Believers are in this world together. There is no such thing as private or individualistic Christianity. That brought me to the song Happy Together by the Turtles back in 1967. Okay, I'm going back to, you remember that one, Therese? You and me and you, so happy together. Right? And that's what we need to be. Happy together. Not infighting between ourselves. Here are some, in verse 28, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, our apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Verse 29. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. The Apostle Paul says, of course not. Verse 31. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Now, we should desire the most helpful gifts. The most helpful gifts are those that are most beneficial to the body of Christ. We see that is clear here that not one gift is superior to the other. God gives us spiritual gifts for our lives on earth in order to build up, serve, and strengthen our brothers and sisters. We need to pray and seek the Lord for how to use the spiritual gifts He has given to each and every one of us. See, the spiritual gifts, they belong to the church. In eternity, we will be made perfect and complete, and we will be in the very presence of God. We will no longer need spiritual gifts, so they will come to an end. They're not needed in heaven. Verse 31 there. So it said, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Now, I'm going to finish that because I didn't read it. It says, but now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. That's what Paul's saying right here. He says, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. We're going to go right on and go to chapter 13. You know, when Paul wrote this, it was one long letter. You know, they put, you know, chapters and verses in it so that we would be able to read it easier. But this was one long letter. So this is where he continues. And he says in verse 1, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record. It keeps no record of being wronged. Some of you have been listening to him 33s for so long, I'm breaking them. Yeah, that's how long it's been you've been entertaining that, since they came out with 33s. And then you got the long playing album ones, and you just keep listen to it. Time to get rid of them. Time to get rid of them. Verse 6, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love endures through every circumstance. Love never fails. Love will last forever. God is love. And God is in heaven. It's forever. God's love is forever for us. Love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised in the church body. Did you know that? Great faith and acts of dedication or sacrifice and miracle working power produces very little without love. You want to see miracles start to flow? Get rid of this jealousy. Let go of the grudges. Love on your brother and sister. The more you love on them, watch and see if things don't change. A kinder, more gentler Pastor Jack. A kinder, more gentler Dean Osmond. A kinder, more gentler Tim Churchetti. And for that, Timothy back there as well. Love makes our actions and gifts useful. Remember, although people have different gifts, love is available to everyone. Love involves unselfish service to others to show it gives evidence that you care. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. Love is the action. When faith and hope are in line, we are free to love completely, because that is when we understand how God loves. See, when faith and hope are in line, we are free to love others completely, because then we will understand how God loves. So I want you this morning to notice the Christ in you, not the Christ you put on you. Endeavoring for unity is not about trying to act like something you aren't. It's about putting down the flesh and consciously aiming to flow in the Spirit of God that is already within you. It's about yielding to Holy Spirit, taking, acting, and reacting from the spiritual peacemaking place. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, my brother? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That was 2 Corinthians 5:17. And congratulations on getting the jail ministry back up. I'm praying for you guys. See, that's a scripture that they use all the time down there with those guys. Let them know. Because, see, they want to get them free. Maybe not free from the stand, but free from the bonds and the chains that those guys are carrying. This unity of spirit cannot only be outward and formal. It must be inward and spiritual. The unity of the Spirit is not about faking it until you make it. It's about choosing to keep the faith when it comes to running our race in life and flowing in unity with God's people. Forgiving and moving on is keeping the faith. Putting situations into God's hands instead of becoming angry and balling up our hands into a fist is keeping the faith. It's not easy, but it's doable. Yes, because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. His Spirit lives in us, and all we have to do, ready for this? Just work with him. Just work with him. Our world must view our unity of the Spirit like voices harmonizing as one. And when I wrote that, all I could think about was the harmony that I hear up here in this anointed group that sings every Sunday for us. When that anointing is up here, you can feel it. You can hear the harmony. The harmony is beautiful. I tell that to Eleanor every Monday. I say, wow, I'm sitting down here. And it's so beautiful just to listen to it. Close your eyes. And when you're listening to it, it's like, whew. Striving for peace and looking for common ground is endeavoring to harmonize. Even agreeing to disagree, but loving anyway, is endeavoring to harmonize. We won't all agree on every doctrine, but we can create the bond of peace by endeavoring to keep the unity of our faith in Jesus. See, wait a minute. I just said that endeavoring to keep the unity of our faith in Jesus. Hey, can we all agree on that?
Yeah,
yeah, you better believe it. See, Jesus is our Savior. And we are lifted up with Him to a position of equal spiritual privileges. Is that sinking in? Not one member of the body is above the other, but we do have roles and things that God created each of us to do. The reason the Apostle Paul told us to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit of faith in the bond of peace was so that we could be a good witness and be worthy of our calling to reach the world with the message of Jesus. The reason Jesus prayed in John 17:21, he says, and he prayed for us to be one, was so that the world might believe God sent him, so that they too would be saved and delivered from the hands of the enemy. How does faith work? What? How does faith work?
By love.
By love. Let us put forth the faith in endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that faith is powered by love. See, it's doable. The love of God has been poured out. Poured out into our hearts. Not with an eyedropper. Poured. Poured out. Hallelujah. All right. One more time in closing. Our decree. I am fighting the good fight of faith.
I am fighting the good fight of faith.
I am finishing my course.
I am keeping the faith.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.